Well, welcome everyone. Today we're honored that you are here and get to continue our series, Women of the Word. We're going to start off where we've been each and every week. Let three people know right now, God sees you, God hears you, and God loves you. Come on. We got to do it. God sees you, God hears you, and God loves you. God sees you, God hears you, and God loves you. God saw what you did at the red light on the way here. I'm just kidding. We're confession for all of us in the house of the Lord. And I'm thankful that we're going to continue this series. My prayer throughout this series is, as we are learning through these women of the Word, that our faith would be emboldened, that we would be encouraged and be willing to take next steps in the Lord. And the woman of the Word we're going to learn about today is Rahab. And I'm excited about that. So the perspective we're going to have about Rahab, I want to ask you something today. How many of us have ever taken a step of faith and weren't quite sure how it was going to work out? Is that all of us? How many of us are in the midst of that season right now? Maybe we're even praying for that step of faith and we don't know how it works out. And what we've seen each and every week as we've kind of walked through this series, we've seen Hannah talk about this, and we've seen Deborah. They've taken steps of faith and they weren't quite sure how the ending was going to be. But as we just worship, who knows the ending before the beginning, right? We can have a praise. We can have worship. We can trust in the Lord. So if you've got your Bible today, we're going to be in two places. We're going to start in the New Testament book of James and see what he mentions about Rahab. Then we're going to be in Joshua chapter 2. So we're going to kind of be all the way at the end of the New Testament and the sixth book of the Bible and the Old Testament. So if you want to go ahead and get your Bible and get to James 2, if you don't have a Bible, as always, they're free for the asking. There's no one standing guard in the garden. You can go get a Bible and act like that's what you were getting to take notes and get another round of breakfast casserole, whatever that is. You can go over there and take advantage of that. But when you take that Bible, I promise you, we're not going to bug you or hound you. That is yours. You write your name in it. You take notes in it and you hang on to it. As always, as Matt mentioned during the welcome just a few minutes ago, Matthew mentioned our Vine Church app is free. You can download that today. It's got all the information of everything happening at the Vine, but also the scripture we're going to walk through, and a notes tab where you can take your own notes. So you're going to want to download that today. But as always, I'm thankful for each and every one of our sowers who give of their time, their talent, and their treasure, specifically our Vine production team, to make sure wherever you're watching around the world throughout the week, it is plastered on this screen or plastered right below me on the screen today. If you're with me, give me an amen. Amen in the house of the Lord. Let's see what James, the brother of Jesus, has to say about Rahab. Now, we hear Rahab in the New Testament a couple of times. She's in Hebrews, the hall of faith, if you will, in Hebrews 11. But James is going to mention Rahab here, and then we're going to unpack Rahab's story and see this step of faith that plays out. It says this in verse 25 and verse 26. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different location? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Now, this is important as James is talking about Rahab's faith. Many times we read this and we're just like, what in the world does he mean? A body without spirit. Spirit is what we run from at Halloween, right? Like, what is he talking about? Well, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. Or if you look in the Greek word there, you'll see pneuma, all right? Pneuma. Now, we know that in a bad context. We just said pneumonia. We don't like that word, do we? Pneumonia. So pneuma means breath. And see, with each and every one of us, if Jesus is our Lord and Savior, we've confessed and repented and trust him as Lord, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, or the breath of life inside of us. So that is our faith. It is real faith. So James is saying in verse 26, a body without spirit is dead. In other words, a body without breath, how useless is that? It's not useful. Maybe it can go to a university to be studied, but it really can't do anything. So in other words, it has dead faith. It is hopeless. But even if it understands what real faith is, it still bears no fruit. See, real faith is faith without deeds is dead. A body without spirit is dead. Real faith, it actually does something. I'm going here with me, so hang in here for just a minute. I'm going somewhere. Real faith produces something in us. It is fruitful. The fruit of real faith is good deeds. It is rooted in Christ. And therefore, what happens is the fruit of it is good deeds. It is works. We don't work to get faith. We work because of our faith. you picking up what I'm laying down? So the root of what we have in Christ is what gives us the good deeds. By God's grace, we can do both. Our faith has a produce of good works. It is fruitful. Now, this is going to lead us somewhere. If you've got your Bible, go ahead, flip all the way to the front, to the sixth book of the Bible, Joshua. We're going to be in chapter 2 to meet Rahab. We just read about her when she hid spies, and we read about what faith means. And while you're getting there, let's talk about Rahab for just a moment, because she didn't get enough talked about her. We're going to see, as it just said, Rahab the prostitute. Many times, wouldn't that be something you would want your name to attach to? Tyler, the prostitute. He's preaching today. That's good times. I mean, hey, might be a full house. It's all right. I'm good with that. I'm good with the house we have here in the full house. But there's room for more if that's the case. But Rahab, we're going to meet in the middle of Israel being going into the promised land. They've been wandering for 40 years. Now, this is really important for us to be reminded of. Remember in Deuteronomy 1, we talked about this last week, Moses sends out 12 spies into the promised land and says, hey, can we take them? Like, go out there, take a look at them. It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like Space Jam. They see the Monstars. Like, can we take them? Like, what's happening? Is this something we can do? And 10 of the spies come back and be like, dude, they're too big. There's no way God can deliver us. But two of them came back, Joshua and Caleb. They saw the promised land and said, hey, God's got us. We got faith. But the problem was those 10 doubters led the whole nation astray. And so for 40 years, they wandered in circles in the desert. Now Moses and an entire generation has missed out on the promised land. And all of a sudden, Joshua is leading Israel, a nomadic people, into the promised land. And they're coming up against city of Jericho that has fortified walls and a well-trained militia. This sounds like Deborah's story a little bit, doesn't it? But you see, this time Joshua and Caleb aren't shying from their faith. They're saying God's got us because as we read in Deuteronomy 31 and in Joshua 1, God says what? Be strong and courageous. Do not be dismayed. Well, what happens here when we meet Rahab is she's going to play an integral part of Israel going into the promised land. We're going to meet her, and she's going to be at her little place, her little inn that just has a little side hustle of a brothel. Just a little added information, but it's actually an inn. It's a Marriott, and they got a back room. All right, there's a VIP room somewhere, and that's what she's doing, and that's where she meets the spies. But before we meet her, let's talk about Rahab one more time. The name Rahab means God widens or God expands. If you read it in Hebrew, it's actually talking about pregnancy, how you swell up before you give birth to a baby. In other words, Rahab means fruitful. Now, what do we just say real faith produces? Fruit, lasting fruit, which is good deeds. So now we see Rahab, who doesn't even know the Lord, who's only heard about the Lord as we meet her. Now all of a sudden we see what her name means. Her name literally means God widens, God enlarges, or God grows, or fruitful. How crazy awesome is that? So Joshua 2, verse 1 through 6 is where we're going to meet Rahab and hear about her. And this is what it says in verse 1 through 6. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from, say it out loud, church, Shittim. I know you didn't want to say it. You cussed in that. We're all going to pray at the end. You thought you said a cuss word in the church, but that is the name of a town. You're welcome. You should have fun. You should all pray for me, but sometimes you just got to get it out, right? That should mean more things than one for some of us. So it says this, Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went out and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. Really quickly, it looks like Joshua learned his lesson, didn't he? See, last time 12 spies went out and only two said we could take them. So he said, guess what? I'm only sending two this time, and those two are going to see that we can take them. I'm not going to send 12 people and let 10 people discourage an entire nation again. I'm tired of wandering. That was 40 years ago. Joshua was alive. I don't know about you, but once you hit 40, it takes a little bit longer to recover, right? The knees don't bend the way they used to, right? Like you get those kind of things, and it's all right. You're thankful, but Joshua's like, I'm done wandering. We got to get some. I'm ready to go take this place and live in God's promise. Verse 2 says this. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab, bring out the men who came to you and entered your house because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So we see this. Joshua, once again, is this nomadic people that have to take on an army, a fortified army. And all of a sudden, they stop at this place Rahab lives in. It's probably the first place inside the city gate, likely. But Rahab not only ran an inn. See, at that moment in time, they were just trying to get some intel, right? They were trying to see what was going on. They had looked at the current events board, if you will. What was happening? What people were saying? As a matter of fact, maybe, even though the spies were there, they might have had some bad intentions. We don't talk about that. Yet all of a sudden, Rahab welcomes them in, and she all of a sudden has a choice to make. We're going to see why she makes the choice here in a moment. Would she trust the king of Jericho? And should Israel come, be completely destroyed by Israel if they win? Or will she trust the people of Israel and the God of Israel? And should Israel come in and Jericho win? Because after all, they got fortified walls. She'd get killed by Israel. It's not a win-win situation. It's a dead-dead situation is almost where she's at. So she's got to make a decision. She has a moment to have a step of faith, and she's got to decide. Will I trust what I see, or will I trust what I know is truth? See, Rahab in this moment of time is going to choose the God of Israel. She hides the spies. She is not finding her security in that wall anymore. She's finding her security in God. See, before we keep going, and I know that many of us may be in a season, we've all been there, of maybe our faith struggling. Maybe you're in a season you just, once again, don't know how it's going to work out. You know God's called you to do something, and you're trying to be faithful in doing it, but you're just not sure how it's going to work out. I want to ask you a question. Was it any coincidence that the two spies went to Rahab? Was it just by chance that they went to the house that God enlarges? Can you see God's providence over this? See, Jericho said she's a prostitute, a dreg, she's useless, she's thrown her life away, so much so even the people that visited her in her little black book would have nothing to do with her during the day. They would never claim her. They would walk by on the other side of the street. They would have nothing to do with her. But yet all of a sudden, these Israel spies come in and they pick her house. See, wherever you are right now, maybe you think that you're disqualified from doing what God's called you to do. Maybe you think your past is stopping you. Maybe you think your current season is stopping you. But you see, God uses the people not because of their status, because of their wealth, because of their past, because of what they have done. Instead, He uses people that have real faith in Him to not only get themselves delivered, but to deliver His people. So today, maybe we should learn even more from Rahab's real faith, not fake faith. Let's see what happens in verse 8 through 13 and see this faith that Rahab has, specifically in verse 8 through 11. And we'll take a pause and then we'll pick up on verse 12. Before the spies laid down for the night, she went up on the roof. Up on the roof. I'm just kidding. That was bad. You're good. I know I'm old, but y'all know this anyway. Jesus, could you give your people some good music to have today? In your name, amen. We just had awesome worship. Now we just got some. Anyway, verse 9. And said to them, look at her statement of faith right here. I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. Verse 10. We have heard the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. Look at this statement of faith. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. How crazy is this? Now, would you have ever, so we got to take an imaginary journey today. If you and I walked into a brothel today, would we imagine the owner saying that? Would we think the owner of the brothel say, God is God, your God is the God, I believe in what he says, I know in what he does, and you look around and you're like, I don't see it in action. I don't see that faith in action. Like, you say you've got the faith, but your life don't quite follow it yet. But we see Rahab in this moment of time is caught in this struggle. She knows what she's supposed to do, so she's taking this step of faith, but it makes you wonder how long she's been struggling with it. Verse 9 says, the Lord has given you this land. So in other words, she's saying, hey, she probably lives in that house because the king of Jericho said she could. She runs her business because the king of Jericho says she can. She is safe and has a livelihood because the king of Jericho says she can. Now she is saying, hey, there's someone greater than the king of Jericho. Verse 10, when she talks about parting the Red Sea, I wanted you to be reminded that was 40 years earlier, and they were still talking about it. Joshua 3, they crossed the Jordan on dry land again, but the Red Sea, they were talking about it. So imagine that. Her entire life, they were in fear of the Lord. But it was a different kind of fear. Alex shared with him when he was sharing the road to Emmaus the Sunday after Easter. That there's a different burning in our heart. We think sometimes it's fear. And when we come into the presence of God because of sin, we will have fear. But by his grace, we see that he alone is our deliverance. Because she says here in verse 11, once again, the Lord your God is God over all. Now, verse 12, she says this, verse 12 and 13. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and my mother, my brothers and my sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Now, Rahab is making a statement of faith, but she's putting some weight behind it. We're not going to talk about the scarlet cord that she lets down or what they say will be a sign to her today when it comes to that. I encourage you to read more about that in Joshua 2. It's awesome when she talks about the sign that they will be given. But she's saying, I'm making this statement of faith and I'm actually going to walk in it. Because no longer am I going to follow the ways of Jericho, the walls of Jericho, and believe in the gods of Jericho. I know where my salvation lies, and I'm asking you to allow me to be spared, to allow me to be delivered. She's throwing away everything she knows. Her livelihood, maybe even her family. We'll see this in a minute. Imagine convincing your family who have only known one way of life that your faith is the right faith. I wonder if any of us have struggled with that or are struggling with that even now. Imagine this. And so she's standing there and she's saying, hey, I'm staking my claim and proving my faith and walking in it. My faith is not going to be dead. My faith is going to be alive through the God of Israel. She is showing us and reminding us today that many of us struggle with, and this is why we have anxiety and worry. We can either walk in faith or we can walk in control, but we can't do both, even though we want to. See, when we walk in faith, we surrender control to God's control, that he is God over all, everything. When we walk in control, we say, God, will you bless it? This is the way I'm going. And I don't know about you, every time I've said that, I've missed out on the fullness of that blessing. God is faithful, but I've missed out on the fullness of it. Let's see how this plays out with Rahab. Many of us, I know the story, but those online may not have got to hear this before. Let's go ahead and flip a couple of pages over to Joshua 6, verse 12 through 15, and see how Rahab's faith plays out in real life, this real faith that Rahab has, this old habits that she's breaking now all of a sudden, stepping into life. It says this in verse 12 through 15. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. The seven priests carrying the seven trumpets went forward, marching before the ark of the Lord and blowing trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the ark of the Lord while trumpets kept sounding. So on the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to camp. They did this for 6 days. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except on this day, they circled the city 7 times. See, Israel knows that their deliverance is in the Lord. The presence of the Lord has gone before them, and it has caused them to worship. They're not fighting with swords. They're not fighting with chariots. They're not fighting with a big wall. Instead, they are following the presence of the Lord. And when they do that, walking in faithful obedience, they can't help but worship. The trumpets are blasting. The people are shouting. And so we see this. We know what's about to happen in verse 20, right? The walls are about to come down. When the walls come. Come on, John Cougar Mellon. Jesus, Lord. We love you, Lord. Woo. That being said, the walls are about to come down, but I want you to think about Rahab in this moment. She's made her decision. Spare me, Israel, when you come, because your God will deliver you. And she looks out her window, and they're having karaoke jam. Like, she hears a trumpet blast and worship music. See, most of us don't want to talk about that, but even in the midst of our step of faith, we all are human. We have doubt, don't we? Imagine what she's going through. Day one, she's just like, oh, they're just warming up. It's cool. It's run through. They're getting ready, right? They're getting a little worried. And then day two, the same thing. Like, she's like, the king's got cannons and stuff. Like, what in the world are y'all doing? You're out here worshiping. But I wonder if about day three, she was like, okay, I guess this is how it's going to be. If they're going to worship, I guess I might as well get my worship on too. Then day four, she tells her family, listen, I don't know when this is all going to work out, but the only way that you can be delivered is if you trust the God of Israel. Now imagine her family's probably laughing at her, right? They're looking out their window too, like, have you seen? They're carrying this crazy thing with some angels on top of it in front of them, and they're doing a karaoke jam. Like, they're serious. Are we supposed to give them votes? Are we supposed to give an X or a year through? Like, what in the world is happening? What do you mean that they're going to save you? Can you see the walls of this city? No one's ever defeated us. And yet she keeps walking in faith day after day until that seventh day. Verse 20, it says those walls come crumbling down. I want you to imagine Rahab's faith at that moment. Everything she's ever known comes crashing down around her. I wonder how many times we would have that type of faith. When everything we've known, our security, our comfort, our survival, seems to come crashing around us. And it just lays in rubble. But you see, that's what real faith is, isn't it? See, because it may be everything she knew, but let's look at the redemption of the Lord. It's her past life. It's her old ways. It's when she was stuck in sin. It's when her faith wasn't fully allowing her to take that step. She was stuck there. Now all of a sudden, guess what? She ain't got nothing to go back to. But the grace of God, we can be excited about that. Sometimes, let me be honest with you, in our faith walk, we can sit there, and when God takes everything we ever knew and puts it crashing around us, don't we get mad? Come on, it's in the house of the Lord. We've done all, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be like, come on, God. Like, you know what I'm trying to do. Imagine Rahab at that moment in time. Like I said, day three, she's probably like, I just told the people you are who you say you are, and they're just marching around the city. And then when it crashes down, she could have been like, dude, what am I going to do for a house? Where am I going to live? This is all I've ever known. As a matter of fact, I'm an outsider to these people. They don't even know me, really. But let's look and see what happens and how her deliverance was brought about through this in verse 25. But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her, because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho. I love how this ends. And she lives among the Israelites to this day. Did it say that she wasn't part of the Israelites? Now she lives among the Israelites. See, what happens so many times for us when it comes to our faith is where Rahab was. Maybe you feel like Rahab today. You think this is the best it's going to get. You're outside of God's promise. You're not doing His will. And you think God could never love you enough, could never bless you enough. There's nothing you could ever do to make it any better. And you're like Rahab. And every day you're reminded of your past. Every day the people only come to see you because of your past. And you think you can't be redeemed. See, Rahab thought she was outside of God's promise, yet she's in the middle of God's promise in the promised land. I wonder today if we would have faith to see that. I wonder today if we would take that step of real faith, if we would say, hey, I may think I'm an outsider looking in, but because of God's grace and mercy, I actually get to be right in the middle of it. Because that's where Rahab finds herself. Not only is she right in the middle of God's promise, but the reason I love how this ends in 25, it says, and she lived among the Israelites to this day, is now she's not only in the middle of God's promise, she's dwelling in it. That's a big difference, isn't it? Hey, it's one thing to know God's promise. It's another thing to live in it, isn't it? See, all of Israel knew God's promise, but they didn't trust it, so they couldn't live in it. And so for 40 years, they walked around in circles. What should have taken days, 40 years, an entire generation dies. See, I read this today, and I'm just going to be honest with you. This is where we are as a nation. We know the promise of God. We've forgotten how to live in it because we're not walking in real faith. And we're mad at God because we're circling the desert, making the same mistakes. It feels like we're circling the drain. And we think that we're outside of God's promise. But I would move to say that Christ has created us for just a time as this, to not only live in the middle of his promise, but to dwell in it and share it with each and every person he places in our path. See, when I read Rahab's story and I read about this redemption, I could easily go to Hosea and Gomer, but I honestly go to John 4 and the woman at the well. Remember, the whole town knew what she had done. She done had all them husbands and it didn't work out. She got alimony on alimony on alimony and it ain't working out. So much so, though, if you think she's getting a lot of money, she ain't even barely got a dipper to go down in the well. Yet Jesus meets her right there. Right in the middle of where she thought she was outside of God's promise, told her how she, through real faith, could live fully in it, set free from her past. So much so, when everybody came to see her about her past, she told me all about it, and he's redeemed me from it. So today, maybe you're like Rahab, and only people see your past. Let them know how God's redeemed it. Let them know through real faith how they can experience the fullness of Christ, the fullness of the life that we were created to live. Because we've talked about real faith. James talked about dead faith in the beginning. Here's the thing about real faith. Real faith and God through Christ is not hopeless. It is not worthless, right? See, we can say Romans 8:28, right? God is working all things out for the glory of those who love him and are called according to his purpose, right? Like, he's working it out for the good. We say that all the time, but can you really live it? In the midst of your season, when the diagnosis from the doctor comes, does it feel like God's working it out for your good? When the job loss comes, that's when the test of real faith comes. Does it feel like God's working it out for your good? When the car breaks down, does it feel like God's working it out for your good? When the toilet gets backed up, I'm just saying, personal experience, does it feel like God is working out for your good? No, because you know what you smell? A lot of where Joshua sent the people from, that town. You'll look back and read it. See, that's the question of our real faith. And so today, as a nation and as a people of God, this is where we get to stake our claim. It doesn't matter whether I'm known as the prostitute, whether I'm known as the former Jericho dweller. I don't know what you would call that, Jerichoite. I don't know what they would call that. But instead today, I'm known as part of God's family. And part of God's people. See, God's faith, the faith in God, is not hopeless. Not because of our blamelessness, not because we figured it out, not because of how much we give on Sunday, not because of how much we serve at the soup kitchen or serve during the week or pray, but because of the finished work of Christ, him crucified and risen again, right? That's real faith. See, Rahab's living this real faith. Her faith led her to be a part of that hope we have in Christ. And we can thank her for her obedience. How can we see it? Well, let's go to Matthew 1 real quick. It's going to be no surprise where we're going. Matthew 1 is the genealogy of Jesus. We like to share this at Christmas when it comes at this time. But let's look seriously at verse 5 and 6 and see where Rahab fits inside of this. Remember how it started. Rahab, the prostitute in Jericho, outside of God's promise, yet found in the middle of it. Israel comes, the walls falls down. She's not only in the middle of God's promise. Now it said, as we just left off in Joshua 6:25, she dwells among God's people and his promise. Let's see what happens in verse 1 through 6 of Matthew 1, though. It says, Salmon was the father of Boaz. What a strong name, Salmon. Whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, we've shared this before, Boaz's mother was Rahab, and yet he marries Ruth, one of the greatest love stories in the Bible. Two women outside of Israel, now written into God's family. Obed, the father of Jesse. Jesse, the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Look at this. So the reason this matters is, when we started to meet Rahab, she found herself, she thought, outside of God's promise, probably not good enough to have it, probably not worthy to have it. And yet, not only was she found in the middle of God's promise, dwelling in God's promise with God's people, now she is in God's family eternally. That's real faith. You and I have the same thing in real faith through Christ. We are family. Thank you. God, we're here. We're here. John's got my back. That's all I care about. We are family. Boom, boom, ba-da-da-da. We got that. I mean, come on. Now, back in the day, we had it. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of... Come on, you had that. That's when you were welcome everybody after they gave you the Sunday school numbers and somebody slid you that last second announcement. You know. But now Rahab's part of the family. What is Rahab's story telling us for real? God sees you. God hears you and God loves you. That's the real faith we share. No matter what's happened in our past, no matter how much we screwed up or messed up, the grace and mercy of God is we don't have to get it right because Jesus has already got it right for us. We can be redeemed. See, today, as you're listening, as you're hanging in here with me, and I appreciate that, we all have faith in something. You may tell me today, I don't have faith. I don't believe in God. I can't prove that there's a truth of God, so you can't talk to me about faith. But all of us have faith in something. How many of us today came here in a car? Everyone. Nobody walked. I mean, you know, Jesus walked. I probably need to walk more, but right? No, we didn't walk. So what happened? Either we pushed a button or we put our key in the ignition, and the car did what? It started. Some of us may know the process of that, but did we physically see how that played out when the car started? We had no eyes to see it. We had no full control or full power over it, yet we expected it to start. Not only that, we started the car. When we go to put it in gear and we hit the gas pedal, we expect the car to go, right? Now, we may understand the process of it, but did we physically see the gas and the air mixing together and allowing the car to propel forward? No. So much so when we hit the brakes, once again, we can't see the whole process play out, but we expect the skirt, like we expect it to stop. So once again, we have no vision of it fully, no control or power fully over it, yet we expect it to happen. Congratulations, you know what faith is. See, you say, I can't see your God, so prove to me that God is real. Well, this is what real faith is. We have faith. We have faith in something. Really, we have faith in Christ, or we have faith in anything else. See, the story of Rahab is a story of you and I. Let's just be reminded, and you may say, hold on, time out, cowboy. I'm not a prostitute. I did not get that wrong. And we can all say, well, maybe you're not a prostitute today, but sin is in every one of our lives. See, sin is everything. We weren't born to be in sin. We weren't created to be in sin. As a matter of fact, when God created us, he created us not to be a dead body, but a living body, a life. But instead, sin, this idea of control, this faith in ourselves, not faith in God, but faith in control is what we followed. And so because we are born in sin, it has a price that has to be paid, and it is death. And what do I mean by that? All of us today, let's just be honest, we try to cheat death. We try to beat death. We do everything we can. We'll go on the next diet fad, the next vitamin craze, the next everything, because somewhere in our warped thinking, we think we can beat death. The last I checked, death bats 1,000. And do you know why? Because it is the fruit of sin. It is the fruit of faith in self. Sin literally is anything that is against the will of God. You say, I've never sinned. Well, I would say, The will of God is perfect. Sin is anything that isn't perfect. You and I can be 99.9% pure, but you and I can never be perfect or what we call righteous to be all that we were created to be. Instead of leaving us in that state, God said, I'm going to make a way for you. I'm actually going to come down to you. I'm going to live the perfect sinless life through my son, Jesus Christ. I'm going to live the perfect sinless life you couldn't live, giving you access to righteousness. I'm going to die the death you deserve, paying the penalty for your sin once and for all. So now all of a sudden, not only do you have access to righteousness, you can be set free from the penalty of sin because Jesus died. But then he said, hey, I'm not just going to leave you there. I'm going to let you walk in victory of it because I'm going to defeat death, hell, and the grave and leave an empty tomb so that you can live life and live it to the full now. See, our real faith allows us to have that. So this is what I'm trying to get at. In our life, we either have faith in Christ or faith in everything else. Sin warps our thinking into building a false fortress, thinking that we can cheat death, only to realize that sin is not giving us a wall or a fortress. It's actually building our own tomb. But Jesus came and left an empty tomb so that we no longer can be in fear. We can have real faith and walk in it, each and every one of us together. So today you may say, if God only knew what I did, there's no way that he would accept me. And I just want to say, John 3:16 and 17 reminds us of what God has done for us. And it says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal or everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God is not mad at you. He is not judging you. He is welcoming you with open arms today. And so today, if you know Jesus, I hope this is a reminder of the step of faith he's calling you to take. But if you don't know Jesus today, I just really want to ask you a question. There is no judgment in going to him. The only way that you and I can have eternal life and receive this free gift of salvation is if we believe that whoever believes, if we have real faith. Question today, why are you fighting faith in Christ so much? When somebody in the world messes up, you give them a free pass. But for some reason, you can't figure out why you keep fighting Jesus. And I just want to say that's the Holy Spirit showing you that there is a way, there is a truth, and there is a life, and that is only through Christ and Christ alone. Not in anything this world tries to tell you can cheat death, not in anything this world tells you that you can do to be set free from your sin. Only can that be found through Christ and Christ alone. And so today, once again, I want to ask you, what's the step of faith Jesus is calling you to take? See, we pray out loud as a family here at the Vine for each and every person who is making this statement of faith for the first time, who is praying this prayer of faith for the first time. It's not the words of this prayer that saves you. It's the faith that Jesus is who he says he is. And so right now, we want to open this opportunity for you to take this step of faith today by trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So with every head bow and every eye closed, I want to ask everyone on our Vine fam to please pray these words out loud and repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. With every head bow and every eye closed, whether you're in the house or you're online, I'm going to ask you if you boldly have taken that step of faith today and for the first time you have trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to boldly raise your hand on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. If you're in the house, you can raise your hand. If you're online, if you would raise your hand. Wherever you are right now, if you have taken that step of real faith, you no longer trust in the false fortresses and Jericho walls of the world. You now know where your real hope lies, where your real redemption lies, where your real salvation and deliverance lies through Jesus Christ. If that's you today, if you want to leave a raised hand emoji, you can reach out to us, message us in the app, message us online. You're going to see a link in just a moment. That is thevine.tv/respond. If for some reason it doesn't come up to you, we want to celebrate this decision with you. And the reason we want to do that is this is not your finish line. This is not your get out of hell, fire insurance. This is the beginning of the rest of your eternity. This is the starting block of you walking in freedom. And we want to help you do that today by getting in a local church near you. So we want to celebrate that decision today. And for the rest of us, we're about to have this time of worship and this time of worship together. I just want to say, hopefully and prayerfully today, Jesus, whatever step of faith he's calling you to take, maybe you've just taken one and you forgot to worship him for it. Maybe you're in the midst of supposed to be taking one and you're just not quite sure how it is going to work out. My prayer today is no matter what, that we would know it is well with our soul because of who is leading us and who has control of our soul in Christ Jesus through real faith. So would you please stand and let's worship the Lord together.
The sound of his voice.
So thankful that we get to not only know it as well with our soul, but my favorite part of that is when the mountain is tossed into the sea. So wherever we're walking through, that's one of my favorite parts of that song. We can have faith that Jesus is who he says he is. When the walls come crashing down, we can have faith that Jesus is who he says he is. When we're in the mountaintops and it seems like everybody wants what we got and we're just celebrating everything, shouting to the rooftops, we get to point to Jesus because Jesus is who he says he is. We get to live out our real faith. And as long as there's a breath in our lungs, a pneuma, we can continue to show that real faith to everyone he places in our path. Because you know what? There's still room in the family of God. Just know that person that's standing across from you today, there's room for them in the family of God. No matter what they've done or what they think they've done to disqualify it, just like you and I. Because we were once Rahab, but now we get to be known by Jesus. And that's something that we can celebrate. So I hope and pray that you will continue to take those real steps of faith. Maybe your next step of faith is getting here at church and having fun with us because we got a chair we've prayed over you. That specific, there's a chair right there we prayed up. We can't wait to see your smiling face because every one of these smiling faces are going to be here eating breakfast, celebrating Jesus, and pointing to him in all that we do. So we hope you have an awesome week. And always remember, the best is still yet to come.